Welcome directly to today's deep dive. You know, if you want to catch a liar, you can probably just stop looking for twitchy eyes or sweaty palms.
Yeah, I mean, the most accurate lie detector on the planet is actually just everyday grammar, which sounds absurd.
Right. But it is grounded in some serious behavioral science. So today we are looking at a student field guide from the Gemini Forensic Academy. Specifically, their Module 1 materials.
Yeah, the module on forensic linguistics and statement analysis.
So our mission for this deep dive is to figure out exactly how the words people choose, or, you know, actively avoid, can completely give away deception.
Well, to understand why grammar works this way, we first have to look at how the brain handles truth versus fiction.
Okay, yeah. How so?
So the Academy focuses heavily on this concept called linguistic ownership. Basically, when you tell a truthful story from a lived memory, you instinctively use first-person pronouns like, I went there, or my mistake.
Because you actually lived it.
Exactly. Your brain has a really high-fidelity memory of the action, and it places you squarely at the center of it. But deception causes cognitive dissonance.
Wait, so if I am lying, I still know it's me telling the lie, right? Why does dropping an I or the me make my brain feel better?
It's the mental friction. Holding two conflicting realities, the truth of what happened and the fabrication you're telling, creates intense stress. So to relieve that, your subconscious essentially deletes personal pronouns.
Ah, to put physical and emotional distance between you and the lie.
Right. The Academy calls this creating an eye gap.
Okay, let's unpack this. It's almost like subconsciously cropping yourself out of an embarrassing photograph,
yeah.
Right? Your brain is literally verbally editing you out of the scene so you don't have to take the blame.
That is a perfect way to visualize it. And
yeah.
Because the subconscious is desperately trying to hide that involvement, the distancing leaks into regular conversations and text messages too.
Right. I'm sure we've all seen texts like that.
Oh, definitely. The field exercises outline four tactical indicators. The first is pronoun omission. Instead of saying, I hurried back, someone might just text, got back as fast as possible.
They just drop the I completely.
Yeah. Exactly. The second is the passive shield. So instead of admitting, I broke the camera, they will say, the camera was broken.
Wow. So the action is suddenly divorced from a human cause entirely.
Yeah, they remove the actor. And the third is object deflection. That is blaming an inanimate object, like claiming the system crashed rather than I forgot to save the file.
Wait, but if someone says the system crashed, maybe the software actually just failed. I mean,
yeah.
How do you separate a linguistic tell from just a normal sentence without falsely accusing someone?
That is the critical distinction, actually. It is not about an isolated phrase. It's about a sudden shift in their baseline.
Oh, I see.
What's fascinating here is how this ties into the fourth indicator, which is possessive stripping. If someone normally says my car or my teammate and suddenly starts calling them the car or that person.
That's the red flag.
Yes. The brain is actively severing its emotional connection to the subject in real time.
So if we notice someone suddenly stripping away pronouns and saying the cup spilled instead of I spilled my cup, how are we supposed to handle that? I mean, just confronting them seems like it would backfire instantly.
It absolutely would backfire. That is why the Academy trains students in a four-step audit.
Which is?
Listen, count pronouns, map shifts, and finally ask the pivot. The pivot is where the real forensic work happens.
Okay, so you don't make an outright accusation.
No, you force narrative ownership by asking a targeted pronoun question. So if they say, the cup spilled, you ask, what did you do right before the cup spilled?
Oh, well. So what does this all mean for us? You aren't calling them a liar. You are just tactically cornering their grammar until they have no choice but to place themselves back in the scene.
Precisely. If someone claims the project wasn't turned in, you simply ask, at what point did you decide to stop working on it?
That overrides their subconscious attempt to hide.
Yes, it forces their brain to reckon with the action directly.
That is a surprisingly powerful behavioral science tool for you to walk away with today. I mean, it completely changes how you will read every email or conversation.
Yeah, you really don't need to overanalyze body language anymore. You just need to look for who is missing from the sentence. The Academy Manifesto actually states that the truth is written in what people choose to say.
Which leaves us with a slightly terrifying challenge for you to explore on your own.
Oh, this should be fun.
Look back at your own sent messages from the last time you were late or made a mistake at work. Check to see if your own brain subconsciously used the eye gap on your friends or coworkers. We are probably all telling on ourselves without even realizing it.